The following talk was recorded live by Jeru Cabal and is part of an accelerated personal transformation training offered by the APT Institute. We recommend several listenings in order to fully integrate this information at the subconscious level. If you have questions about this talk or would like more information about our services and trainings, please write to us at the APT Institute, P.O. Box 1111, Mill Valley, California, 94942.
The one thing that we constantly put a lot of energy into, and have probably since the beginning of mankind, is relationships. Now, relationships can be very, very rewarding in your search for clarity, or they can be just the opposite. They can be very crippling. Now, whether they're crippling or helpful, everybody is relating. I know we use the word relationship to mean a certain kind of a relationship, what we might call a love relationship. But in reality, everyone is relating all the time. You can't not relate. And this will be helpful for you if you can see that you are in a relationship. Even if you don't have what we normally call a lover or a partner or a mate or whatever. You're constantly relating to people. Even if you run away from them, you're relating to them. This is your way to relate, is to run away, to avoid. If you're running toward people, this is your way to relate. It's really important for you to, if you want to use relationships as a way to help yourself become clearer and more free, it's important first to see what's behind the relationship. Now, to a large degree, we think that sex is behind relationships, but actually sex plays a minor role. We use it in a different way, but if you really look at it, it plays a relatively minor role. Basically, the traditional relationship is a rerun of your childhood. And even if you're not in a relationship, or you don't have relationships, or you have anti-relationships, they're also reruns of your childhood, if you really look at it. And these relationships can be traced back to our first relationships with people, with others, and with ourselves. Remember that when you were born, you were helpless. I have to keep coming back to that because it's so fundamental. And you were not complete at that time without the other. Because without the other, you would have died. You needed someone to take care of you. If there was no one there to take care of you, you would have died. It's just very simple. So you experienced this idea that I'm not complete without the other. Without the other, I'm in trouble. And this idea is basically still present. And this gives a feeling of incompletion that we think the other is going to give us. If only I can find the right other person, then I'll be complete. Then I'll be safe. Then I can be happy, and so forth. Until then, it's a kind of frustration because a part of us feels I need the other in order to survive, and I don't have the other. So, of course, you have to put a lot of energy into that. Now, it can be that in childhood, you experience that the other, which you needed, let's say, rejects you. But if that's the case, then that's your relationship. Your relationship is one of being rejected by the other, which you need in order to be complete. Now, I said a moment ago that relationships are basically reruns of childhood. So if, as a child, your relationship was one of rejection, of being rejected, then that's the kind of relationships you're apt to have as an adult. You're going to be in relationships where people reject you. You're going to follow the old script that you wrote as a child. And it's going to go around and around and around. If you're with somebody and it looks like you're going to complete something, that something's going to change, usually it doesn't happen, unfortunately. What changes is your lover. In other words, you get a new one. The moment you feel like something really is going to change, which isn't in the script, you don't change, and you don't change the script, you change lovers. Then you start all over again because it's safe and it's familiar, and that's just the way it works. So we keep playing again and again the relationships of our childhood. And actually, as a child, you had more than just one relationship. You had several. You had a relationship to your mother, a relationship to your father, relationship to your older brothers and sisters, relationship to your grandmother, grandfather, if they were there, relationship to an aunt or an uncle that might have lived in the house with you, or whatever. But you had several relationships, close relatives perhaps also. And these few people were your world when you were a young child. And they formed the major people in your script. They were the major actors in your script. So there's your mother, your father, let's say your grandmother, and your older sister. This was the family you were born into, let's just say. Basically, everybody else in the world didn't count. Like everybody else in the world were really minor actors. The postman, the milkman, neighbors. They weren't really important in your life. The people were important were your mother, your father, your grandmother, and your older sister. Now, you might have loved your grandmother, hated your sister, let's just say. You're going to find women who represent your grandmother to hate. Did I say you loved your grandmother? Loved your grandmother. Okay, you're going to find women that represent your grandmother that you can love in that way, in that grandmotherly way. And it doesn't mean that the person that you find to play that role is going to be an old woman. That doesn't necessarily mean that's the case at all. But you will find that there'll be certain women that remind you of this relationship to your grandmother, and that relationship or those relationships will be a part of your life. You'll find other women that you'll hate in the same way that you hated your sister. And then you'll find women that'll play the role of your mother. And there'll be those three kinds of women in your life: your mother, your grandmother, and your sister. Other women won't be important at all. You'll never have any kind of close relationship with any other kind of woman. They'll just be minor actors in your life. So if you're a woman and you're looking for a woman friend, you're probably going to choose someone like your grandmother. And you will also find that a big part of your life are those women that somehow come into your life that you hate, playing the role of your sister. You won't be able to ignore them. You'll attract them. You'll be fascinated with them. But you'll pull them into your life somehow. And other women, they just won't be important. Just like as if they're not there. And the same with all the other members of your family. The people that you experienced as a child. And it can be that as a child, you're visiting, your family is visiting friends one day, and there just happens to be a stranger who's present visiting the friends of your family. And it can be that this person makes a very deep impression on you, and that person becomes a main actor in your life. So it isn't necessary that these people are there constantly, but it's whoever made an impression on you in those early years. And you'll find there aren't a lot of people. It's a relatively small number. And now today what you're doing is you're looking for people to play those roles again for you. And then you'll relate to them basically the way you're relating to the people in your childhood. Of course, the most dramatic of all of these are the so-called love relationships. Because it's from these relationships that we expect to be fulfilled, that we expect to be satisfied, that we expect to blossom. And sometimes it happens. And when it happens, it's because we feel like all the circumstances are right. But if we didn't really blossom as a child, it's very difficult for us to allow ourselves to blossom as an adult. If we blossomed to some degree, relatively speaking, as a child, then that can happen again as an adult through relationships. But you have to be able to see that in most relationships, the predominant feeling is, I'm not okay without you. I'm not okay as I am. I'm not complete without you. And behind that actually is a feeling of the infant, I won't survive without you. And this is what makes us needy. This is what makes us jealous. Jealousy is just a fear that the other's going to go away and leave us and we're going to die. It has nothing to do with love. It's fear, plain old fear. And of course, it's the fear of the infant that can't take care of himself or herself. A good test of love in a relationship is whether your love is directed to the other. If your love is directed to the other, it's a kind of investment. You're investing all your love in the other so that you get something back. But the focus is on getting something back. If your focus is on giving, and you're not expecting anything back, then there's a good chance that that is love. But if you're giving without giving anything back, or expecting anything back, then probably you're not focusing your love on one person. You are simply love. True love is like a light bulb that's turned on. It just shines. And the love is coming from within and doesn't depend on what's happening outside. This is a pretty hard test. Most relationships don't pass it. Because in most relationships, we want something from the other. And our happiness depends on whether or not we get it. But if we want to be free, we also have to free ourselves from these patterns. Because that's what it is. It's a pattern of helplessness. It's a pattern of inadequacy. It's a pattern of dependency. Now, there are such things as adult relationships, I've heard. But they will look totally different than the average relationship. Because in the average relationship, both partners are taking turns playing the infant. Both are thinking the other is going to take care of me. The other is going to make me happy. The other is going to complete me. And sometimes the patterns of two people fit so closely together that they do become, in a sense, one. And they do, in a sense, complement each other. And they do spend their whole lives together being happy. But usually they also spend their entire lives being infantile. Playing house, in a sense. But they never really get any real freedom. Both of them are like a person with only one leg. And saying, I can't walk unless my partner's here. And that way I have two legs. And that's great. You might make a great dance team, if you can call it two legs a dance team. But you might develop a great act. And everybody is impressed with your harmony and your synchronicity and so forth and so forth. But you still only have one leg. And you still aren't free because you have to compromise constantly with the other. And you can do that, and if you're satisfied with that, that's fine, perfect. But if once you become really aware, you'll see that this is still just an old pattern from your childhood. And if you really are going to be free, it means learning to enjoy dancing in your own independence, in your own freedom. Then when you relate to somebody from freedom, from your own strength, your relationship is a totally different kind of relationship. It's a relationship of respect, in which you allow the other to do what the other wants to do, whatever it is. Even if it means leaving you, you respect that. You don't try to cling. Because when you cling, you're really saying, my life depends on you. And if you leave me, I'm going to die. Now that's a pretty heavy statement to make to somebody. In the old days when passion and jealousy were considered high ideals, the greatest compliment was to have someone say to you, I can't live without you. But if you're a relatively adult person and someone says, I can't live without you, you realize what a drag that is. That means they're saying that unless you do what they want you to do, they're going to go kill themselves. And that's a drag. Nobody wants that responsibility. And the game of lovers in relationships is very often the game of the hunter and the hunted. And the successful relationship consists of two people who know when to switch from the hunter to the hunted and from the hunted to the hunter. Otherwise it gets boring. But there's always this sort of tension that one is supposed to be running away from the other and the other's supposed to be chasing. That's what makes it fun. But this is also still just a duplication of what was happening in childhood. So if you're interested at all in true freedom, true strength, true happiness, then it will be very useful for you just to look at your patterns that you have with other people. All of your ways of relating to all kinds of people, and included among those ways of relating, looking specifically at your love relationships or your one-to-one partner relationships. There is a kind of relationship which, on the surface, doesn't look like a rerun of your childhood, but it's important just to mention. And that is your relationship with your ideal that you formed in childhood. You might have had a certain experience with your mother, and out of this experience with your mother, you formed the idea of the perfect mother. And later, when you become an adult, still looking for the perfect mother, you find the perfect woman, who may not be like your mother at all, she may be just the opposite of your mother. But see that it is still coming from your relationship with your mother. It's just, let's say, a revolution against that. But still, you'll be tied to your mother as long as you're with this woman, because you're tied to this ideal that you started as a child. And then you'll make life probably hell for this woman, because then you'll require her to fit this ideal. And the moment she varies from the ideal, which you call ideal, then you'll accuse her of not being honest, not being fair, not being what she claimed to be. And maybe she didn't claim anything, maybe you did it all yourself. Because that's one of the characteristics of falling in love, is we look for someone who more or less fits our script, and then we project the whole script on them, whether they like it or not. If we want to think great things about them, then we think great things about them and totally ignore the reality. And this is what we call falling in love. It's like suddenly somebody comes along that totally fits our patterns, or almost totally fits our patterns. And then we give up seeing the real person and we fall in love with our old ideal. And then it comes as a shock 6 months later when we start slowly seeing the person that really is there, And then we accuse them of lying to us and being false and putting on false airs and all that sort of thing. But actually the main problem was that we projected onto them. They had just enough qualities to qualify, and then all the other qualities we gave to them because we wanted them to have them. And then felt disappointed later on when we discovered that actually they didn't have them. And then we're angry and hurt and disappointed. We feel cheated. But all of this, again, can be traced back to what we experienced as a child. We all put a lot of energy into relationships. Even if you haven't actually been with a lover, let's say, for months or for years, you're still relating. And you're relating according to a pattern. And you can free yourself from those patterns so that you can really genuinely relate to people, relating as an adult. Because you have to see that one of the most important things when you relate to other people, as you did when you were a child, this keeps you regressed. It keeps you childish. You can't grow up and hang on to these old patterns. And the old patterns will keep you in those childish attitudes. That's just the way it is. And being in a childish attitude means also that at the subconscious level, you feel weak and helpless and dependent. So it's going to take all of your power away from you. You may feel strong as long as a substitute mommy or substitute daddy is there, but at a real deeper level, you're going to still be feeling dependent. And when you can see that you're not dependent, that it's all right for the other to leave you any moment. And if you really love them and they want to leave, then you're going to want for them to leave, if that's what they want and if you love them. But any kind of holding on your part indicates that you feel you need them. And that need, in turn, represents a kind of dependency, kind of helplessness. This is not very easy for us to look at in our culture. Because, for one thing, the religions have made much of relationships, have established the whole institution of marriage based on this sort of thing. So it's very difficult for us also to separate one thing from the other. And I've only briefly mentioned sex, which comes in, but sex is actually a different issue. We include sex in our relationships, but it's actually a different issue, which we won't get into today. But you can have a sexual relationship as a child has with a mother, or you can have a sexual relationship as an adult with another adult. But the sex itself, as such, is not the issue in relationships. Sometimes seems a way, seems an excuse. It's part of the game, yes. But it's not the real thing. There is a kind of, you might even call it sometimes, sexual energy. It's just the energy of aliveness which attracts the baby to the mother or the baby to any sort of alive, warm human being. And this could be called sexual. But at that age, it's not usually what we would call sexual. It's just energy, it's life energy, being attracted to other life energy. But sex is a different issue. And of course, when you put the two of them together, then you multiply the complexities. and sometimes the fun. But I could say that's another issue. From experience, I know that when I say that relationships are basically reruns of your relationships from childhood, many people feel threatened. They're like the one-legged dancers, feeling like I'm pulling out the other leg from under them, and they don't really like to hear that. But that's the way it is. So the best thing to do is just openly, honestly, look at the way you relate to people, and especially the way you relate to close friends, to lovers, people who really play an important part in your life, and just see how much of the way you relate is actually a repeat or pattern, a rerun of the way you related to people when you were a child, when you were an infant. Then, if you want to, you can free yourself from those things. If you don't want to, then you can enjoy them. But let yourself have that choice. That's the main thing.
Do what you do from awareness.
Do what you do from awareness and not just as a pattern. Not just as a habit. Because habits always, if you use them with unawareness, will make you slaves, keep you from really being free. If you can use your patterns with awareness, consciously, then that's just something different. But our relationships to people are a part of our relationship to ourself. You can't have a true relationship to yourself unless you're clear about your relationship to other people. So you owe it to yourself somehow to become clear about relating. Because it's through relating as a child that you have the feeling about who you are, whether you're lovable, whether you're worthwhile, whether you're worthy, whether it's all right to be free, whether it's all right to be creative, to be joyous. All of this comes from other people. So if you really want to discover yourself, it's really important to see how much of what you think you are, who you think you are, has come through your relationships to other people in your infancy and childhood. So, Anybody like to argue?
I almost said I'm scared, but that's not true. Actually, I'm very curious. I have been without a partner for quite a long time, and I've had the experience of these dependent relationships a few times, long times, short times. And now I see that I am in the process of, I mean, now I start, I start connecting more deeply again with one person. I don't know how far it goes, but I feel I connect truly, and I'm more open to give and take. Mm-hmm. And also I see so many things popping up, and I see I could fall right back into it again, and I just catch myself and go back with myself and get myself some space and look at it and breathe and say, wow, that was just on the edge. And it's every day, I mean every moment, it is like the old thing or something new, and it's like hot and cold. I feel really very excited about it. It is like as if there, it is not possible to make a decision like I want this love relationship. It's not possible. It's just that it has to be, it's work every day. And I don't see that it's changing. It's, I cannot say from tomorrow on I will be in a deep love relationship and it will be forever. It is like every day, every morning I wake up. I've been dreaming, and I have to say to myself, well, it's today. He is not my daddy, even if he looks like him. And his son is not my brother, and I don't need to be jealous about my brother. And every day.
Okay. It is work.
But this is also the way.
But this is also the way to get clarity. And you do bring up something which I wanted to mention and didn't, at least not so clearly, and that is relationships can really be a tool for you if you will use them that way, to see your patterns, to see what you cling to. And two people can help each other tremendously if they will learn to be open and just help each other see those patterns. Help each other become free of those patterns. So I'm not suggesting, for example, by any means, that you just simply drop relationships. Rather, the best thing to do is to go into them, but with as much awareness as you can manage. Not with the idea of clinging to each other, but helping each other, or allowing the other to help you see where you're stuck, to see where you're somehow crippling yourself by feeling dependent on the other, and learning to give the other more and more freedom, and learning to take the freedom that the other gives you. That way, respect grows, and neediness begins to disappear. You help each other truly become an adult. And then you have a really beautiful adult friendship. Who knows where it will go to, but at least it can be very, very, very rewarding, very nourishing.
Those scripts anymore, so I will just pull away
and take the path of meditation or whatever. Some people can make progress on a more solitary path. Perhaps they're afraid, but if they have seen that everything leads to chaos, why not choose a solitary path of peace and dip in just when you can?
Okay. There's nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with that at all. The only thing that would be a little bit tricky is whether or not at a deeper level, the subconscious level, you still do feel dependent on the other. That would be the thing you'd have to check. Because if you do, then it's like running away from something that you really want, settling for something that seems to be second best, then rationalizing that it's what you really wanted.
On the surface, it can look exactly the same. Someone who has,
let's say, transcended dependency
and is relatively
satisfied to be alone, and that doesn't mean not being with people, but not being with any one single person. Can look exactly like someone who is afraid of relationships,
or who wants relationship,
but feels like it's never going to work out. So why don't I drop the whole mess? But actually, at a deeper level, still wanting it. So that's something that everybody just has to look at to see whether or not the child within them still wants someone. But because they're afraid of being hurt, or afraid of being disappointed, or afraid it's never going to work out anyway, or whatever, they turn their back on that. But it's a kind of resignation rather than freedom. And that's something that everybody has to answer for themselves. And you answer that basically by looking into the subconscious. The conscious mind doesn't know these things. But the subconscious has a very precise idea about it all. And this does happen very often in meditation, that people go into meditation as a kind of sour grapes thing. And that's why you get a lot of sour meditators. You know. They say, well, who wanted it anyway, you know? Who wants to be successful anyway? Who wants to be happy anyway? Who wants to be famous anyway? Who wants to have, you know, whatever? So then they go into meditation. But it doesn't really work for them. And again, when they're sitting, they may look just like somebody who is sitting there because it's the greatest joy in their life. But inside, one person is squirming and discontented, and the other, it's flowering. So, from the outside, you may not tell the difference at all. And it's up to every individual to look inside and see actually why they're doing what they're doing. Yeah.
I grew up in a family where I was surrounded by men. I had a father and two brothers, and with my mother was the only woman. And I find today that I have very beautiful and deep friendships with women, women my age or women younger. And I cannot connect with what you explained about it being, you know, a kind of a reproduction or a continuation from the special relationships you had in childhood, because I don't recall having any relationship with women outside of my mother, and these women don't at all seem to have anything to do with my mother for most part.
Well, you'd have to look into the subconscious for that. It has nothing to do with younger or older, but my guess is that if you'll look, you'll see that in your relationships with women, either they represent your mother, whatever that relationship was, or they represent the incidental women in your life as a child. In other words, somehow not so important. And it isn't only the mother, it might be somebody else in your family that you related to as a child. Other woman, I mean. And like I say, it doesn't have to be someone that's there all the time. It could be just someone that you met once, but you felt so relaxed, so open or something, that you're always sort of looking for that kind of a woman again and finding her. But I would suggest using the pendulum. Make a list of the women in your life that have been somehow important to you, and then just ask, to what degree does this woman represent someone from my childhood? To what degree is she representing or reminding me of someone from my childhood? And include in that list your ideal woman, your ideal mother that you formed in childhood. Because on the surface, people can look very different, but at the subconscious level, the subconscious is seeing something similar there. Maybe it's their attitude about you, the way they accept you. Maybe it's a certain quality that they have that is important for you. The other qualities may be totally different. But the main thing is that you would actually have to check out the subconscious level. That's where it's really and truly happening.
It has nothing to do with the sex, because I found out that you are my mother and Prem Bam is also my mother.
Okay.
So
see? I bet her mother didn't have a beard, you see? So it's a quality that we look for, not necessarily the outer features. And sometimes it can be the outer features. Sometimes that's what does it. But you just have to look to see where it's coming from. You may be attracted to someone because they smell a certain way.
Mm-hmm.
You may never suspect that it's just the smell. Or the way a person walks. They turn you on or something. Or remind you of an old familiar pattern or whatever. It doesn't necessarily have to be the photograph that does it. Yeah.
Once you realize that basically you're relating to others who is all kind of moving, could you say something about communicating from that space? Once you've seen that, how to communicate in that new life?
Well, one thing you could do is you could say to the other, when you want something from the other, my four-year-old would like this, or my four-year-old gets angry when you do this, or my four-year-old feels threatened when you don't do this, and blah, blah, blah. If you really want to go for it, you can call your lover Daddy. Or if your lover doesn't represent Daddy like hers perhaps, then you can call your male lover Mommy. And let yourself exaggerate to some degree what it is you want. Let yourself be childish about it at times. It's best to have some kind of an agreement about this, however. Like Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays, you can play Mommy. And Tuesdays, Thursdays, and Saturdays, your partner can play Daddy, you see. And then just allow yourself to be, in a way, to feel childish. If the other agrees to that, to play the daddy and you play the little girl, and then just let those roles be there like that, and then see what it feels like, and see what you do. Once you realize it's okay to be a little girl, see what you demand, see what you want, see what you give, see what you expect. And then on other days, you be the mommy, strong and capable and all that sort of thing, and let your partner be the little boy. And then let him allow his childish side to come out, his dependency side to come out. That's one way to do it. I mean, it's a bit shattering, but it can also be fun if you do it lighthearted. And you have nothing better to do because... in your relationship, you're doing that anyway, but you put so much energy into trying to appear adult.
to try to appear rational.
And
trying
to avoid responsibility and that sort of thing so often.
So it really is easier
if you can recognize this in each other and play it as a game and not take it very seriously.
And it's fine if...
You know, you play the little girl on Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, and
let him be the daddy,
and tell you bedtime stories.
Or whatever it is,
it comes out for you. That'll be the thing. Just give yourself permission
to express
that which is there.
You don't have to pretend.
It's not a matter of pretending to be a little girl, but rather just expressing what's there, saying what you want, and saying what you don't want, and how you don't want to have any responsibility, basically, for everything. You want the other to take that responsibility, because after all, I'm just a little girl, and you're the big daddy. And then the next day, do the same for your partner, reverse that.
You take care of your partner,
you play the role of mommy. And let your partner be the little boy and see what comes from that. Yeah.
The problem with that seems to be that it changes so fast. It's like, my girlfriend wants to be a little girl sometimes. And I say, okay, fine, go for it. And then as soon as she starts doing it, my four-year-old goes, I'm going to cry. He listens to it for a little while, and the whole time he's going, when's she going to be finished? So he can play, and it's like, immediately, as soon as she wants to regress, he's like, the agreement's there, okay, go for it, do it, and then he gets bummed out.
It sounds like you have a contract
in which you're allowed
to be the child all the time. And then when she wants to be the child, just for a break, you know. That your child can only handle that for 2 or 3 seconds. And if you see that, it's fine. Nothing wrong with that.
She doesn't feel fine with it,
but she does. She does feel fine with it. Otherwise, she wouldn't be doing it.
She'll find in her childhood
a similar pattern of some kind. Now, it might sound like in her childhood that she was playing father, but that's not, mother, that's not really the case, because her relationship probably is with a father, if you represent her father, who himself wanted to be taken care of. Maybe
her mother
was taking care of her father, you understand? Allowing her father to be a four-year-old. And her relationship to her father might have been one of having to let him have his way in order to get any attention from him.
So
she will find, if she looks, she will find a pattern there.
And
And
part of her pattern
will be frustration.
Not liking it,
and yet that's what she went through,
and that's what she's going to repeat
until she becomes free of it.
So part of her pattern will be
the frustration of trying to have
someone give her attention,
even though she's doing what she wants to do.
Do you follow that?
In other words, her pattern probably is she had to play second fiddle.
She had to place her own desires and so forth
in second place
in order to get any attention.
Maybe she, in a sense, flirted with her daddy, playing a little girl. But at the same time,
the real thing would be that she had the feeling
she couldn't really truly be herself
with him,
and that he demanded whatever it was he was demanding. I'm just saying these words, but I'm sure she looks,
she will find a pattern there.
And even though now she says she doesn't like it, it's a familiar pattern.
And
it's easy for her to be in it.
If you should turn around
by some miracle and totally drop the four-year-old
and
totally be there for her and just say, you know, whatever you want, I'll do it. Whatever you, you know, you just say the word, I'll do it. I'll take care of it. You can be totally childish and I'm totally adult for you. I'm the big strong daddy and I'm giving you total freedom. You do that for a couple of days and she'd lose interest in you totally. Okay, now we're going to get the other side.
I have had the opposite case, and I was running away. I was working hard to get into that position. And if he was like that, if he was a real daddy, I didn't like him.
This is exactly the way it is.
The moment you come out of the pattern,
you feel uncomfortable.
And you say about this guy
that you've been trying to train to be the perfect daddy, and when he is finally the perfect daddy, then you say,
he's not the man I thought he was.
He's changed. He's not what he used to be.
And then you go out and say,
now what I want is, I want a real man. Not one of these fuddy-duddies that lets me do what I want to do. So it's good that you've seen that. You mean is there like one set formula that you can follow?
Different
in all kinds of people.
But there is one thing that they all have in common. They're all based on the dream.
They're all based on memory.
They're not based on the here and now.
They're not based on truth.
They're not based on reality.
In other words, all of these things are still coming from the dream that's happening at the subconscious level
based on your feelings of inadequacy at birth.
So the knife that can cut through all of these things, it doesn't matter what patterns they are, the knife that can cut through all of them is focusing on the here and now, on the one hand, but allowing the memory to come to the surface so that you can see that it is just the memory. Which is the same with everything. The whole subject of relationships for somebody who's on the path is no different than any other subject. It's still a matter of trying to see the difference between memory, how it's affecting you, how it's creating patterns, and the truth, the reality of the here and now. And in the here and now, you're not a helpless infant. In your memory, you are. In the here and now, you just live and experience that which is happening. And if another person is in your presence, then you try to experience them. If you're an adult, you just experience them then in the here and now. You see their beauty, you see their intelligence, you see their harmony. And you see, if you're really in the here and now, that they're a divine being, a divine creature, and that you are too. And you also see that you don't need that person. Otherwise, you wouldn't be alive right now, probably. But you have to understand that at the subconscious level, what you're dreaming is that you need the other. And then your idea of the other has become fixed by your experiences of infancy and childhood. It can even be talking about the mother and the father. Many people have very strong attitudes about, let's say, men, based on the way the doctor, if it's a male doctor, handled them at birth. This can be a very, very strong influence. That's the strongest moment of your life. And if you've got some male person handling you as if you're a bag of beans or something, slapping you around and all that kind of thing, then it can be a certain attitude that you'll have towards men. So it doesn't necessarily have to be your mother or father, but definitely experiences from your infancy and childhood. But the secret will be, for those of you who sort of consider yourself on the path, people who are trying to find out who you really are, understand that relationships in that sense are no different from anything else. They definitely can be used, because relationships represent our deepest attitudes about ourselves. That's the important thing. The way we relate to other people says something about us. That's the most significant thing. And if your relationship indicates that you need the other, then that means you're saying about yourself, I can't take care of myself. I'm not okay as I am. I'm not complete as I am. So see that the important thing about relationships is that it tells you something about your relationship with yourself.